Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. We're back. It's Teresa and America.
Hi, everybody.
Today, we're going to talk about what the hell is fighting in the open.
We get a lot of questions about why we decided to call the podcast In the Open, one. And two, like, what does it even mean? So that's why we wanted to kind of help people understand what it means, how we embrace it, and I think individually how you and I kind of embrace it.
But really, this topic is also going to get us to discuss what it means to talk about your mental health problems with the people around you. You know, when we started going down this path, I was also like, part of the issue is when I'm struggling and how messy it is, there's a lot of shame about like, well, I'm supposed to talk about my mental illness, but nobody wants to hear about my mental illness.
I see it that way, but I also see it about your willingness to just own your mess.
Yeah.
And like, I call it that because there's so much attached to what mental illness looks like, what mental health looks like. And oftentimes there's like a misunderstanding, right? And for me, it's just, you got to talk about these things, whether you think it may look bad or not. It helps to talk about it.
Yeah. It also feels so close to our hearts because this is like historically, is that important to give the background of where this stupid phrase came from? It's not stupid.
It's not stupid.
Sorry, it's not. I actually really, really like the phrase, but what the hell? It's very abstract. Like for people who are like, what the heck? Like, why?
Yeah. So it's important to understand where it comes from because it really is tied to who we are as an organization. And for folks that don't know, Mental Health America has been around for over 100 years. So that means that, you know, we've seen a lot of change, but also we've seen not enough change. We were founded by a guy named Clifford Beers.
He probably had bipolar disorder with psychotic features and psychosis, or like bipolar with psychosis. He was locked up.
Yeah.
He saw all the crap that was happening in like asylums back then where we really horribly mistreated people. And when he came out, he was like, we cannot be silent about the conditions and the way that we treat people with mental health problems. We need to do something to make sure that we can treat people better, treat people in the community, work on prevention, make mental health matter.
So he wrote a book, and the book is called A Mind That Found Itself. And from that book and his idea that he really wanted to talk about these issues, when he started thinking about telling his story, the people in his family and others told him, you can't do that. You're basically going to ruin yourself, your reputation. And he was like, no, I have to fight in the open. So he decided to go out and talk about the need that existed to change the way we looked at and treated individuals living with mental illness. And his ability to do that really changed the game. He's the first one that started out of the gate saying, hey, pay attention to these things. And because he was, I think, so upfront with his story and very honest with his story,
in that moment when he was hospitalized, he was at his lowest moment. And that's such an important thing. It's like people with mental illness are judged by our worst moments. And that imagery of you at your worst moment sticks with you. And if you don't fight in the open and share about your story, about your whole journey, when it started when you were a kid, all the way up to when you find yourself and when you are wrestling with issues and you are helping other people because you've learned skills that we all should have. Like the long journey, the long fight is what we all need to see about this whole story of what it means to struggle with a mental health problem and recover from it. But I feel like what happens in people's minds when they don't struggle with a mental illness is they have this image in their mind about the worst moment that we all had when we hurt someone or hurt ourselves or
whatever that looked like for him, where he was hospitalized, which he actually writes about in the book, and what happens when he is outside of hospitals and kind of his recovery and his decision to move forward in talking about these things openly. And that has continued to be our motto for over 100 years. I think we still embrace it. We embrace it in everything that we're trying to do for people that are living with mental illness, for others that are kind of, you know, not ready to talk about their mental illness, and just even thinking about why they should be thinking about their mental health in general.
Yeah. What does it mean to fight in the open to you?
To not be ashamed of my story and my experience so that I can go out and tell people, look, this is me. I've dealt with stuff, whatever it is. And then part of that, I think, is also a willingness to help create a path for further introspection for others.
I think that people who struggle with mental health problems, that the experience of struggling with depression or psychosis and mania is so personal, and it beats your soul down, that if you fight that and you come out the other side, they are the group of the biggest, baddest people that I have ever met. And we don't get enough credit for how emotionally strong and amazing people are. Like, people who hear voices and are voice hearers, like, they are such strong people. So, like, fighting in the open is not having people see the worst part of me. It's seeing, like, when I can talk about this stuff, it's seeing that I am not afraid of being myself. Mm-hmm. I liked what you said about owning my messes, but also how that messiness connects us to all people who are always struggling and who might struggle in that moment and feel like they also have a safe space to reach out to, because you're like, oh, I have a friend who is willing to talk about the messiness of life and then get us to a place of hope and, like, seeing how strong we are and how these things don't make us a bad person, but they make us, like, freaking superheroes, you know?
Sometimes I think about it where, you know, the emotions that you feel when you're struggling and you're kind of at a loss for just trying to figure stuff out can be so overpowering that having something like fighting the open as, like, a mantra gives you a little bit of gusto to keep going. Like, that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I use the word embrace. Okay. I use that word a lot, but I do it because it's not just about me talking about it or putting it up on a wall. It's really about me trying to, like, use what those words mean and fully embrace, put myself around that word and try to integrate that into my actions and my thought processes. So for me, it means a lot. Yeah. And I know when I've spoken to other folks and they've never heard it, they're like, I never knew that that's what I was doing. And it's like, yeah, man, you're totally doing that.
Fighting in the open?
Yeah.
Being open about the reality of your life?
Yeah. Being open about your experience.
Yeah.
The crap that you've dealt with, knowing that with everything that you've been through, you're still standing today. So there's, like, a literal part of it where you're fighting, right? You're, like, consistently, like, trying to push forward. But then there's the other part of it where you're just, I'm fighting to keep myself going.
Trying to figure out how to be, like, be genuine and be honest with people around you is harder with, like, social media. And the way that we compare ourselves to others, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I can be honest and genuine in a relationship when it's, like, face to face and it's right here. When I think about social media and the things I see, it's such a platform where you, like, see pictures of people, or you, like, see what people is posting, or you feel pressure to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
How do you live genuinely in the age of technology?
So I think you have to have a certain type of personality to be willing to put yourself out there in a very genuine manner. I'm a very private person, even though I share things on this podcast. But either way, I do it because I think it's going to help other people. But I also know that the stuff that I'm dealing with, only a few people know. Why? Because I'm a private person. I trust those people and knowing that they're not going to be like, hey, did you hear what America did? So I don't post that stuff on social. I'll post a pretty picture because it makes me feel good.
But that's part of the I think the next level of fighting in the open is around disclosure about the messiness of what you described. And like, I think it is hard. It's like coming out of your mental health closet. Like, how do you share? Like, oh, I had depressed episodes. You know, I totally thought about death and suicide and all these weird dark things that like we think other people relate to, but we're not sure. And it's always that thing. Like, is my brain normal or not normal?
I think for me, it's a protective factor not to share that online for various reasons. One is that I'm knee deep in mental health every day. That's all I think about. That's all I'm doing. And for me to step away from that, like, I don't want that part of my life to also be mental health related because it's all connected at the end. But I have to, I put that, you know, even though I end up looking up mental health stuff and everything, but I don't want that space to be like, oh, we can connect around this. And I'm like, no, no, no. You want to connect with me? Let's connect around pandas. Does that make sense?
I think so. How do you talk to your family about mental health?
It comes up all the time. It comes up all the time because they're so used to my conversations like, oh, well, I don't know if you guys know this, but this is what's happening. Or, you know, when you use that type of language, this is what it says. And we have to think about the fact that we as a community don't talk about these issues. And, you know, mental health and mental illness has impacted our family. Well, they're very comfortable with it.
What does it literally sound like? Because in my family, I don't talk about with the older generation. I think it would just be so hard for them to unpack that. They don't have the language to even go for it, right? But with my younger people in my family, they're all in 100%, down to what medications they're taking, when they were diagnosed, how our family contributed to problems, how much of it is genetic, how much of it is, you know, life related. Mm-hmm. So I do see a generational gap.
When you say older, what are you talking about? Like 80?
My mom is 80.
Yeah. So she, like, you couldn't have a conversation with her about this?
No. Even some of my siblings, like my older siblings who are in their 60s or 50s. Mm-hmm. So I was born super, super late. So I relate more on a mental health side with their children who are in their 20s or 30s than I do with my siblings who it's really hard to talk to them about it. Sometimes they say things that are really horrible things like, you need to just, that's not real. You need to just pray. That's my favorite. I know there's a lot of fear, like, why are you airing out this crap? Like, why would you even bring that up and share about that stuff? Like, I definitely feel fear that somehow this information is going to get back to someone. I'm like, who? You know, like, who is it going to get back to? And like, what are they going to find out? And that's part of like the living in the open where I have to be like, you know what? If I live authentically and I say the things that matter in my life, I have to be ready that it doesn't matter if it's my cousin, my family, whoever that says, oh, I heard about this, to be like, yeah, you know what? You did hear about that. And I am so proud because it's real. And I'm sure you're going to struggle or you have struggled before, but did you have someone to talk to?
You know, what you're saying around authenticity, I think is very important. And in my family, you know, I don't have people that are like a couple, maybe 70. And with those folks, I do have conversations to try to get them to understand why it is, like why I do the work that I do. And some are more receptive than others, like around the need to go to therapy and things like that. But you have to keep in mind that they are far more acculturated than somebody that would be, you know, in Bolivia, for example. But there are very important components that you have to understand about my family. A lot of us are in the mental health space.
Oh, really? Like y'all work in mental health?
Yeah. So like even in Bolivia, like my cousins are medical doctors, psychologists. So we're kind of like in the fam. And then on
you're
this
not
side,
normal.
No, it extends from, you know, the fact that my grandfather, he was a man that was very focused on the strength of education and the importance of education and like making sure that you embraced what you could do to help people.
Yeah.
So
there's one family that is older and they're super just kind and accepting of mental health problems. And it's my aunt and my uncle who are parents of my cousin who has schizophrenia. Like when I talked to them and they had questions about what's going on for him and blah, blah, blah. Like that's the thing about living that experience. You can't mm-hmm. pretend that it's not real. Like it's right there and you're going to address it and hear about it and try and work with it. Like it's like every other illness, or you're going to try and bury it. And I watched my family go through both sides, like a period of time where we tried to ignore our problems and pretend like they didn't exist, to that acceptance of like, okay, this is happening. And it's a grief process, right? Because just like being diagnosed with any illness, I think everybody has their grief process, whether it's my aunt, my uncle losing the life that they hoped for their son, and my cousin who probably had a lot of hopes when he was in his master's program and had breaks, right? And he still accomplished a ton, but they were really cool. Like, I just have to give them credit for how much they took that in stride and just, I don't know all the full stories, but at least when I've talked to them, they were really open and wanted to find answers.
But I think that that's something that happens in many communities where there is still a huge amount of taboo around any kind of mental illness, mental health discussion, because there is a connection, like you were saying, you know, somebody's going to find out. It's going to get out that we need help. It's going to get out that we're going to counseling or something like that, you know? And what I really believe happens is once somebody says, oh yeah, we've been going to therapy for like a year and it's great, then somebody's like, oh, from the outside, they may be a little shocked. And then, you know, a couple of days later, they'd be like, hey, can you tell me how to find a therapist? You know? And I don't know if that's in some ways because of the fact that somebody's so willing to talk about it. But I think you have to be very conscientious that the reactions that others are going to have can hurt you, but they can also help push you forward. Where you're talking about, you know, really living authentically and being your true self. You know, my family knows that I've gone to counseling. They think when I'm struggling, they're like, maybe you should find another counselor. Maybe that's the best thing, you know. But my family is in many ways not the norm. In a lot of families that are Hispanic, there is a lot of conversation like, you can't talk about that. Why would you even say that? The people are going to say something. And, you know, what I do when I counter that is really tell people we're all struggling. We just don't talk about it, especially when you get like into the work that I do when I go out and talk to folks like in the community, and they'll come and talk to you about like psychosis and things. And they'll be like, have you talked to anybody? Like, oh yeah, my friends know, you know, and you're like, that's awesome. Like, what about your family? Like, no, they're not supportive. And it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
At least if you have somebody that supports you, you know?
We have lived through understanding how damaging isolation and loneliness is when you're going mm-hmm. through hard times. And so fighting in the open is about being open yourself so that maybe someone else might hear your story and feel like they can talk to you about it. And in doing so, we create connectedness and we have a space where we can come together and talk about hard times and not feel alone. And that is what you need if you're going through things that are hard. And that's why we fight in the open.
I think it is about empowerment, you know, where your story gives me just a little bit of more confidence to go out and say, hey, that's happening to me too. I've dealt with this. And the connection that is made by even just by hearing us, right? Because if folks that are listening to us, just hearing us be open about the range of things that people are bringing to our attention and what we share with others, I hope at the end of the day gives you a little bit of an oomph to get you to say, it's all right. let me make that step in finding whatever I need to feel better.
Definitely. I feel heard. I feel empowered. I'm still scared, but at least I know I'm not by myself. I can do this. You know, every day is another day to try again.
Yeah.
And be a better person and fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fight in the open. Fight in the open with us.